Hello, this is Chris Whiting, Director of Sales and Marketing with Benjamin F. Edwards. And we wanted to provide you, our clients, with an update on the markets during this challenging time of volatility as a result of the coronavirus situation. So we've asked Mark Keller to join us to provide an investment update. Mark is the CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Confluence Investment Management. He has over 40 years of investment experience. Many of Confluence's investment strategies are available on our advisory platform. Mark is a board member of Benjamin F. Edwards and a trusted asset manager with a very calming tone that is especially appreciated in times like these. Mark, thanks very much for joining us, and I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks, Chris. It's a pleasure to be with you today. These last 3 weeks have been some of the most volatile and distressing weeks of market behavior any of us have ever seen. I'll try to describe as best I can what I think is going on. It always brings up memories of past market sell-offs whenever we see things go sour like this. People ask, is this 2008 all over again? And the answer is no. But we have had a bear market breakout very quickly, and the probability of recession has risen dramatically over just these 3 weeks. It's a reminder once again how quickly things can change. It also is a reminder that none of us can foresee the future. We use words like forecast, estimated earnings, things like that, phrases like that that make it seem like we know what's going to happen. But I'm always reminding my clients that I can't see the future. We work in a world of uncertainty, in a world of probabilities. And sometimes things happen which are, as we say, out of left field kind of thing that while we know can happen, we do not expect them to on any given day. And what we've had happen over the last 3 weeks is that several things, two in particular, have occurred, which are very unusual and unforeseen by me or our staff here at Confluence Investment Management. Two things that when combined with something that we were worried about have conspired to bring us to a place where we think a recession is likely. We're not the only ones, apparently, who have that same worry because the market has sold off very sharply. So what we'll do first is talk about those three things, two things we didn't expect and one we did, how they've worked together, and then we will talk about the market response and what we think is happening. The first thing, of course, is the coronavirus, which produces a disease that we call COVID-19. It's a very contagious virus, and it produces a rather distressing response, particularly in older people and people who have health problems. It is a disease which is about as contagious as the common cold, but has influenza-like mortality. In fact, kind of at the high end of the mortality that we expect from influenza. And that's a bad combination. It's been moving around the world now for about 3 months, although most of us were not much aware of it until about 6 weeks ago. It's had an interesting effect and a very difficult effect on economies because the virus is so contagious. governmental authorities and authorities generally have made the decision, and it seems to be the right one, that social isolation is the best way to combat it. Now, social isolation essentially means we kind of shut down the economy. Businesses shut down. And the expectation is that maybe this lasts, like in China, 6 to 8 weeks, but maybe it lasts longer than that. And the question is, how long can businesses essentially shut down without creating for themselves financial distress? This is something that the market, just over the last 3 weeks, has had to come to terms with. And clearly, the staying power of businesses has all of a sudden come to the fore. This is a matter of liquidity. You know, how much cash do they have on hand? It's a matter of how they run their business. Do they have to keep paying employees? It's a matter of balance sheet. You know, how much borrowing power do they have? All these things work together to produce staying power. And this staying power is now important during a time that most people didn't expect. We thought the probability of a recession going into the year was higher than it's been in a while. Personally, I thought it was about a 10-15% probability. Once the coronavirus became an issue, it seemed to me that we moved up to about a 20-25% probability. Still, not more than 1 in 4. But the social isolation, the virtual shutdown of the U.S. and even the Western world's economy, combined with the other two factors, is what has raised the probability of recession in our mind up to about 80%. What are those other factors? Well, because coronavirus, as bad as it is, from a strategic point of view, has an endpoint. It will roll. It will pass. It's beginning to pass by. The peak has passed over in China just now, and they've been dealing with it for a little less than 3 months. So there's an endpoint out there. But the other things that have come along are just as significant, although they're frankly not talked about on the news very much. The second thing is the oil price war that has broken out between OPEC and Russia. OPEC led by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. These two major oil producers have worked to keep oil prices down over the last 3 or 4 years by managing their production. While they were limiting their production, here in the U.S., we were producing oil like crazy because we can, because we have fracking capability. We have all this shale oil. And we are now the world's largest producer of oil, and we export lots of it. And this has created a problem for them. But it's not just us that they're focused on. They're focused on China. China is the world's largest importer of oil. That used to be us, but now we make a lot of we produce a lot of our own oil. China is the largest importer of oil, and historically, Saudi Arabia has had the largest market share of producers and exporters into Saudi Arabia. Into China. Russia has been moving up, and the two of them are in a market share war for China at the same time that the U.S.'s production has moved up. They really surprised the rest of the world by basically going to war over the price of oil. It's an old-fashioned gas war, as we used to call them, when one gas station on the corner just kept lowering its price and the one on the other corner kept lowering its price. Is good for consumers, but not too good for the owners of the gas stations. Well, here's the problem we've got now. In the old days, that is before fracking, we were big here in the States, big importers of oil. We were consumers primarily. And so an oil price decline was actually good for our economy. Now, as big producers of oil, there's a huge chunk of our economy that derives income from the oil and gas industry. Even industrial, as much as 30% of industrial manufacturing in the U.S. makes something that goes into the oil and gas industry. Now, when oil prices drop, it's not a positive for the economy, but it's a net negative. Yes, it's a positive for consumers and other people, but it's a net negative. And this does not have an endpoint that we know of. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't roll over like the coronavirus issues. It could keep going for a while. We've studied, our chief market strategist, Bill O'Grady, is you know, in his fourth decade of studying OPEC and Saudi Arabia, and he's of the opinion that they're going to go to the mattresses on this, and that could be a difficult. So if you pair that with coronavirus, and we've got things slowing down. So what's the third? And this is the thing that we have been worried about for quite some time. And that is private sector debt in the U.S. has grown steadily over this 11-year expansion. And it's largely outside of the banking system. You know, the U.S. banking system after 2008 was reformed, was capital and reserve requirements were increased. You know, frankly, the banking system's liquidity is really good. But on the other hand, they haven't been allowed to make risky loans. But as an expansion ages, people want loans. Well, sure enough, they found those loans outside of the banking system in what we call the shadow banking system. This is just a network of lenders who get their money from big pension funds, endowments, things like that. There's lots of institutional money desperate for yield. And this money has found itself into the corporate and private debt area. And that those debt levels have gotten uncomfortably high. It's not an unusual thing to happen late in an expansion at all. Unfortunately, a lot of that debt is tied to the energy industry. And so, as you see, the prices of oil going down has made it more likely that some of this debt defaults, and perhaps we have bankruptcies. In fact, we're likely have bankruptcies now. Thus, we think it's likely that we have a recession this year, and the market is responding to that. And again, two things that were pretty much unforeseeable, the price war and the impact of a rather deadly virus, came together in the same three-week period and combined with our corporate debt level, created a real problem for us. In response to the question, are we getting this 2008 all over again? Well, no, it's a different set of facts. In some respects, it's better than 2008. That was one of the worst recessions any of us have ever experienced or studied. And the reason it's better is that the debt problem is in the corporate sector, not in the household sector. In 2008, it got so bad, it's such a severe and deep recession because it was households who were over-levered primarily on their residential mortgages. And so the debt liquidation that was required literally threw people out of their homes. And it devastated the banking system. This one is not going to devastate the banking system. It's going to devastate lenders potentially outside of the banking system. But the banking system looks like it'll survive, and it looks like that consumers will survive as well. However, it's going to be a more old-fashioned recession in that there's going to be companies that go out of business and there's going to be layoffs. And we'll probably have kind of what I've often described as an average recession, two or three negative quarters of GDP. What does the stock market do in these kind of, let's call them average recessions? Well, it typically sells off anywhere from 25 to 35%. As I sit here recording this afternoon, the market just closed down about 30%, about 29 and change. In other words, the market has very quickly discounted the likelihood of recession. Can it go down more? Yes, it can, of course. If the recession is what we expect it to be, it's probably, the stock market's probably not going to go down a lot more than it already has. It's probably discounted about 80% of the downward action that you would expect in an average recession. If the recession turns out to be much worse, not something that we're expecting, but much worse, then there can be a more serious move downward from current levels. I think that's unlikely. We've had two bear markets in the last 20 years that were in the market, retraced about 50%. That's pretty extraordinary. I think this recession is unlikely to be deep enough to require that. But whether it is deep enough to require that or not is going to depend upon how strong the financial system can respond to these shocks, both as a result of the coronavirus and as a result of the sharp decline in energy prices. If the financial system can withstand it, we've probably seen the worst of the sell-off in the stock market. If it cannot, and we lose a fair number of large financial institutions, then we could be down further. A deep recession such as we had in 2008 can cause a 50% retracement in the stock market. That's rare. It's only happened three times in my lifetime and twice in the last 20 years. We think it's unlikely that that occurs again. If it were to occur, now that this market is down 30% in a little over 3 weeks, we are more than halfway to that that level. But given what we expect from this recession, given that the coronavirus, which is an element of it, does have an endpoint that we can see, and given the fact that the household sector looks to us to be able to hold together better this time than it did in 2008, simply because it's not as leveraged as it was then. We think this recession is more than likely going to be of somewhat average duration and length, and thus the sell-off in the stock market is more than likely not going to continue on a lot more in terms of downside movement. As I said a few minutes ago, I think about 80% of the move is likely behind us. That doesn't mean it's going to be over quickly, however, because the recession typically lasts anywhere from 6 to 12 months in length. And if we presume it's starting right now, the market usually bottoms 3 to 6 months before it ends, which means, you know, even if we go down 30-35%, we could still seesaw around at a low level for several months before the market starts to see some daylight in the economy and a reason to start moving back up again. This is, you know, what the markets do from time to time. We can't act as though these are strange things, as difficult as they are to live through. These are the kinds of storms that the economy and the markets deliver to us from time to time. More rarely than they used to. We used to get recessions every 4 or 5 years. Recently, over the last 3 decades, we've been getting them more like once every 10 years. But these are opportunities offer equity investors to reevaluate their portfolios, and particularly we use them as opportunities to upgrade portfolios. The kind of sharp sell-off we've just gotten, everything sells off and sells off sharply, including stocks of some truly outstanding businesses that frankly have been too expensive for us. And all of a sudden we find them at really attractive levels. It's a good opportunity to sell some stocks that maybe of companies that aren't as well positioned or as strong and upgrade the quality of the portfolio. Don't be afraid to sell something at a loss even to do that upgrade. It's also a good time to reevaluate the staying power of every company, particularly true of companies that are in kind of the center of the storm, like the energy industry right now. Make sure your portfolio has, or your stocks that you hold, the companies you hold have staying power. They can survive it. And if you have any doubts at all, don't be ashamed to sell it at a loss and upgrade the portfolio. One last thing, and that is that this market action has underscored the wisdom of something we often talk about, and that is the importance of balancing stocks and bonds in a portfolio. High quality bonds, even though the yields are very low, high quality bonds, especially U.S. Treasuries, have done very well as a flight to safety. Balanced portfolios shine at this sort of times. It's kind of like buying insurance. You know, you pay your homeowner's insurance bill every year, and it seems like lost money until you have a fire. And a high quality bond portfolio is very much like that, and we've seen that in the last 3 weeks, haven't we? It's a good time to reevaluate, and then as opportunities present themselves, rebalance. Stocks have gone down, bonds have gone up. Good time to rebalance the portfolio. Something to be doing over the next several weeks and months. So asset allocation, once again, proves to be a real important tool for both individual investors and institutional investors. Well, it's been good to have an opportunity to spend with you. I will just encourage you to look at our Confluence investment management publications. We've been talking about the coronavirus for many weeks now, and we're talking about probabilities of recession, and just encourage you to look at our daily comments and other publications to help keep you up to date. We're always available to you as well. Feel free to call us if you so desire. It's a great pleasure to be on this podcast with our friends at Benjamin F. Edwards. It's a partnership that we value highly, and we value your confidence in us also. Thank you.